And this, of course, is part of our series on the Gospel of John, which focuses on symbols like the light bulb going off. That's a good idea, right? The light bulb in your head is a good idea. And then, you know, this idea of symbolism is also here in this word, where in the middle you see this three squiggly lines, which mean recycling. You can look at in there, there's the symbol for a power button, which you look for on your computer, which is a little circle with a little line in it. And then there are many other symbols as well, you know, which help you. And an international symbol, of course, when you want to find the men's room, you look for, you know, a symbol of a guy, and look for the girls' room, you look for a symbol of a woman. Symbols are used all the time, just like they are in the Bible, and we see in Scripture, in Gospel of John, light, different kinds of light, but also water is a great symbol, the ocean, the streams. There's bread, all kinds of bread in the bread store. These symbols help us understand who Jesus is and what God is up to in our world. And today I'm going to explore the fact, it helps us explain what God is up to in our world. It helps us understand John and what he's writing in the Gospels. And what he's writing about, most importantly, is that what Paul said is true. My God will meet all our needs according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ Jesus. That is the witness and testimony of the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the Book of Acts, the letters of Paul. They're all to tell us about how we experience fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. And if you go back to the Old Testament, you find that the shepherd imagery is used a lot. In Psalm 23, of course, the Lord is my shepherd. And then in Psalm 23 is wonderful in talking about the Lord. He provides for us and leads us. But then in Ezekiel, he's describing God as our shepherd king. He's the one who rules, and he's in charge of everything. And Jesus, when he says, I am the good shepherd, is provoking his audience of Jewish people who think God is the king. How can this man tell us he's a good shepherd to be equal to God? So they pick up stones in John chapter 10, and they're going to be ready to stone Jesus for blasphemy because he's equating himself with God. And he's using these Old Testament imageries to apply to himself. And Jesus is clearly making himself equal to God in John chapter 10. Jesus, as the good shepherd, shows that he clearly knew himself to be God, which is either crazy or wicked, evil. You know, the wickedness in man could be leading someone to be deluded, or it's actually true. Those are the options, you know. Jesus is mad. Jesus is being deliberately devious and wicked, or is he actually speaking the truth? Which is it? Which is it? That's the question as we go into this reading of John chapter 10. Let's pray a moment. Dear Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit illuminating your will and your way to us. Thank you for leading us, directing us, and guiding us. May our time with the word be profitable and be good for us. May it nurture us. May it feed us, may it help us produce a crop of righteousness as we go into the world on our mission, as we go into the world sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in the very act of evangelism. Lead us now in this time, in Jesus' name, amen. Text, there's kind of a lot of text here from chapter, and I'm going to stretch the text out a little bit more. I'm going to start at 11, finish at 33. It says there, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The Man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. He's an hourly wage earner. Doesn't care. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. The crucifixion, the resurrection. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. The command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. And can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Then came the festival of dedication of Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name just testify about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they know me. And they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. They'd done it before in the Gospel of John. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We are not stoning you for any good work," they replied, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to him. As I said, we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John, exploring a variety of symbols. The symbols are something that represents something else. Jesus is obviously not collecting sheep. He's worried about people. But this is a potent symbol in the Gospel of John. And all these symbols are used to represent who Jesus Christ is. And these representations help us view our Savior more clearly as Jesus is revealed through them, and they bring much strength and comfort to our faith in him. And this next symbol is Jesus is the Good Shepherd. We continue on in John 10, recognizing that Jesus is no ordinary rabbi or heaven-sent prophet. He is heaven come down to earth. Jesus is not just an ordinary rabbi reading his books. He is not even of the stature of Moses. He's greater than Moses. He has brought heaven down to earth. That's who Jesus is. And because he is heaven come to earth in a human form, it's unexpected. They haven't seen this before. It's new. It's a revelation from God through Jesus Christ. And the Jewish opponents of Jesus enact the penalty for blasphemy. "We're not stoning you for any good work, but for blasphemy. You, a mere man, claim to be God." This proves, again, that Jesus is actually the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy found in Ezekiel 34:23. "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. This is God. And in the process of Ezekiel, it's very clear that God is disappointed in his human people who are supposed to be the under-shepherds, the priests and the other leaders of Israel. Even back in Ezekiel's time, that's even before Pharisees are talking to Jesus. But there, in that prophecy about God coming and being the shepherd himself, he is talking about this shepherd who's his servant David, that Jesus, a descendant of David, is going to be the good shepherd who's going to tend us. And we can trust him for that. And in all of this, God is proving that he is the one who will search for his own sheep. And he will be the good shepherd for Israel. And what the problem that's happening in the prophet Ezekiel's time is that the leaders of Israel aren't doing the right thing. And that is the same problem Jesus is facing as they want to pick up stones to stone him. They really, their hearts aren't in the right place. They are more interested in profit. They want to make money off of this religious thing. You know, they want to make money off of the people of God. And their hearts are not in it for the sake of love, for the sake of money. And God is able to diagnose the problem. Jesus is able to diagnose the problem. He says, you have the wrong idea. And perhaps you even are corrupted by power. You want power over the people of God. Because power, as this writer, Baldur van Schirach, I don't know who he is exactly, but he wrote the right thing. Power is what spoils people. Yes, it seems to me that the seeking after power is a great danger and the great corrupter of mankind. So Jesus knows that there's corruption here, and they want to attack him because he's the one indicting them. He's the one bringing the righteousness, bringing the light of God onto their situation. And Jesus then diagnoses the problem, and he says, look, a true shepherd will take on the wolf and won't let him eat the sheep because he cares for his property, he cares for his sheep. He loves his sheep. He wants to protect them and preserve them because they, you know, produce wool for him. They're part of his business. And he will leave and lay down his life if he has to, protecting them from the wolf who wants to attack. And Jesus diagnoses it right and says, no, you are people who would run away from your responsibility because you are like a hired hand. You don't care for the sheep. You just care for your hourly wage. And in your hourly wage, you're not going to be laying down your life as you would if you're the owner, if you're the actual one who builds the business. And there's no sense of responsibility, really. There's just kind of a sense of wanting to grow in power and be able to make money off of this. Jesus, in contrast, is the real deal because he will lay down his life, and he does that, of course, on the cross. And he's willing to die for them as he's taken down dead from the cross. He is willing to go all the way. He's willing to give his life, and this is showing his greatest love for us. Because he's willing to die for the sheep. So Jesus has a symbiotic relationship between him and his beloved people, his beloved congregation. Jesus wants us to be in his love and to be sharing his love. So my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and we are working together all the time. So you move where Jesus moves and follow him where he goes. And you know, it's a powerful thing when you realize you're in God's will, like Annette was discovering as she went to the Solomon Islands. Just went and got a few students together with Danielle to lead them to a conference, and this conference shows her that God has a deep, rich well of wisdom and experience and knowledge in those people that are connected to her and her family, and connected to us in Faith Church, and connected to what's going on in Guam, as students from many, many islands come here. And people come here from many islands to work here. Guam is a thriving economy, and people come here, and it's a crossroads. And what we love to do is share with people that Jesus loves you and has laid down his life for you. And nothing can come in between that. God is establishing his own family through Jesus Christ. And there's one shepherd and one flock. And the one shepherd, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. That means he's saying, I am God. That's what he is saying. He's one flock. He's gathering all the sheep together. And he says, there are sheep that are not even of this place here. They're scattered throughout the world. And I will go to get them. I will go to find them. I will seek the lost. Wherever they are, I will go to the ends of the earth to seek the lost. You know, I will go to New Zealand and I will meet the Maori people who were there before any white people were there, or any Europeans, or whoever were landing there as settlers. I will go to every place where anyone is, and I will speak to their heart, and I will share with them what I want to give them, is that I am their shepherd. And they are called to be my sheep. God is establishing his own family through Jesus Christ, a people who will praise his holy name and honor the Lord Jesus Christ as God, as Lord and Savior. God is busy gathering one flock through whom he reveals his truth and character. This is why the book the Jews wrote and have given to us is our Old Testament. Through their ministry, we have the revelation that sin and brokenness in the world came through Adam, one of us, a man. Humanity, we brought our own ruin upon ourselves. That's the truth. That's what sin is. We bring ruin upon our own selves. You know, those sayings are true. I am my own worst enemy. Or I just shot myself in the foot again. Or, you know, there are things that we just lose complete control of. And that's sin and corruption and brokenness in the world. So it came through human beings, and that's what the Old Testament reveals in Genesis. But what the gospel represents is that the one chosen to bring life is the one through whom God is going to undo the powerful effects of sin. The one chosen, who is Jesus Christ. Life is found in Jesus Christ. Death came through Adam, life comes through Christ. And therefore, only one of us could possibly have fixed the problem. It came through a human being, has to be fixed through a human being, has to be fixed through Jesus Christ, truly human and truly God. The one chosen. Now, there's only one God. There's only one way. There's only one Savior, and that is only Jesus. That is what we preach, that is what we share, is what we live, and that's what we want to share with the world around us. That one chosen is our precious Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what is found to be true. To hear Jesus talk about the shepherd and the sheep, about laying down his life and taking it up again, there are two reactions recorded by John. Jesus is our chosen one. He was chosen to be our Savior. But the two reactions are, one, you know, Jesus, you're stark raving mad. You're demon-possessed. And we read this out of the Gospel of John, and we ask ourselves as readers, you know, if you find yourself reading the Gospel of John, you know, you're turning in the pages, and you see Jesus and who he is. And suddenly they're accusing him of being possessed by a demon, of being stark raving mad. You read and you say, that's not true. It's not the Jesus I'm encountering in the pages of the gospel. Seems to be reasonable. He says, the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's true. It's reasonable. You know, Gospel of John starts with a profound thing, but then it says, you know, he was with God and he is God, and the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not overcome it. And then Jesus goes on in his teachings to show us many truths, deep, profound truths, which are true. He's not stark raving mad. He's not possessed by a demon. So there's something wrong with the Pharisees who want to stone him. The second reaction is interest. No, he's not demon-possessed. They're intrigued. The second reaction is they're intrigued. They're curious. They're wondering. What is Jesus talking about? They have interest and they have curiosity. And when you find interest and curiosity, go there because someone's heart is open. They're ready to talk to you. They're curious. They want to know, can there be a reason for this faith that we have? And they say something very reasonable. Can a demon-possessed man heal a man born blind? Would he? A demon-possessed man wouldn't. The demons and Satan want to destroy. They want to create suffering and difficulty. So these people want to find out more. They want to look more closely to see who Jesus really is. They want to find out, What is this about Jesus that makes him different? And this is the godly reaction of God's Holy Spirit at work. And Jesus welcomes and blesses this response. Come to see who I am. Come to see what I am doing. Now in John 10:22, Jesus is at the temple during the festival of dedication, talking about his sheep who know his voice and listen to him. And he says there are two things that I'm going to grant to my sheep. One is eternal life. They're going to live forever, which is a desire people have. If they don't know Jesus, they might say, well, let's try cryogenics. Freeze your body. Maybe someday they'll figure out how to revive it and you can live on forever. I think even they got President Putin talking to Xi, Chairman Xi of China, and they were talking about how they could live forever. You just keep getting organs transplanted and you could live forever, you know. And it's like, I don't know if that's going to work for Putin or for Xi. I think they've got a date with death, you know, that will happen. But the eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. That's what he came for. The Good Shepherd is able to provide that for his sheep. And eternal security in Christ. He is promising us to take us home to be with him in heaven. He prepares a place for us. And our eternal life and our eternal security are found in Christ. And no one can snatch us out of his hand, Jesus says to them in John. And he says, no one can snatch them out of the hand of God. And what he then says is, this hand is the same hand. The hands he's talking about are the hands of God. They're the hands of Jesus. They're the same hands. This is not. So what he's saying is, I am the Messiah. I am the one they're wondering about. I am the Messiah. Are you the Messiah? They're asking earlier. And he says, yes, I am. And he is not just sent by the Father. He is one with the Father. He is totally equal. This is why the hand thing. The hands of God, hands of Jesus are the same. I and the Father are one, he says, John 10:30. And this is why they pick up the stones. We're stoning you, not for any good work, but for blasphemy. You are mere man claiming to be God. The story comes from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's about God, for sure. We are the simple sheep. We need pasture. We need water. He finds it for us. God finds it for us. He gives us straight paths of righteousness to walk in and is with us as we endure the valley of death. This is what God does for us. And Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. He is absolutely saying that he is God. A Jehovah Witness might ask you, where in the Bible does it say that Jesus is the same being as the Father? Bring them to John chapter 10. Bring them to John chapter 10. Read them your version of the Bible. I'm not sure if they've retranslated it in a different way in their version. And say, look, it says here. And they're picking up stones to stone him for blasphemy. So he's clearly saying, I am God. I'm one with God. And if you know me, you know God. And if you're in me, you're in God. You're with the Father. And you shall enjoy life with him forever. Jesus does what he needs to do as a good shepherd, and he's showing them that he is God, that Jesus is absolutely God, and he's doing works that only God can do. He's making water into wine in the Gospel of John. You know that wine is made because water comes from the ocean, on the rain comes falling on the vines of the field, and then we, you know, do the whole process of working the grapes so that it, and put them into barrels, and they become wine. Jesus is saying, Jesus turns water into wine because he's got the power to create. He's got the power to create just like God. And he goes on the storm, you see, and he calms the storm. The stormy sky and the wind-whipped sea calm down and are still. And that is directly from Psalms, where it says God is in control of the clouds and the skies and the storms. And Jesus is God. So if you recognize the divinity of Jesus, you recognize that these works testify to him being God. If you accept that, then you have to yield to him as Jesus, your Lord and Savior. That's where you end up. And I thank God for that revelation. Amen. Dear Lord, as we pray, may you work in our hearts to convict us and assure us of this peace in Jesus Christ, found in him. When we belong to him, we are on our way to eternal life. And we have security. Jesus is the beginning and the end. He says he's the Alpha and the Omega. God, you are the Father who's revealed as God to Moses in the burning bush, but also to the disciples and to the Pharisees standing here in John 10. You're revealing yourself in the temple courts. You're talking to them, and you are saying, I'm God. I'm one with the Father. Father and I are one. So when we belong to Jesus, we belong to you. We belong to Jesus. We are at home, and he is the beginning and end of our faith. So we praise you that the Father is very glad to glorify Jesus. He is very glad to have him be at the center of our faith. And the Holy Spirit witnesses and testifies to us that Jesus is the Lord and the Savior that we follow now and forever. May you continue to equip us. Jesus, you are the Good Shepherd. You lead us so that we are refreshed, so that we are fed, so we are finding our ways of righteousness because you lead us. May we never turn back from you. Thank you, Lord, that you will stay with us through thick and thin, always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.